KA19.
4, 3.
Where we kick ass.
2, 1.
Hey Sequoia, I'm Daya Caroline here with Jack, your host for our December KA19 podcast. Jack, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Daya, and I'm looking forward to today's KA19 podcast. If you remember, we had Dr. Connolly, an equine vet and zoology professor, here on the podcast a few weeks ago. Switching things up, we have Vanessa Valera with us this morning. She works for the Ventura County Park Ranger Services. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Daya, Jack, and the Sequoia Middle School Digital Production class for having me today. I'm really excited to be here.
Okay, so before we dive into your life as a park ranger, could you tell us a bit about yourself outside of your job?
Okay, I'm 27 years old. I'm from Oxnard. I went to Ventura College and I studied geography. When I'm not at work, I enjoy hiking, road trips, specifically to places where I can go hiking. I like reading, spending time with my family, and spending time with my dog, Parker, who's a little terrier mutt.
Aw, that's nice. How old's your dog?
He's 3, so he still has a lot of energy. A little bit too much energy for me, but it's still fun.
Doggies are so cute.
Yes, he's very fluffy.
So is there a specific reason why you became a park ranger? Did you have an inspiration from people close to you?
Yeah, actually, I grew up camping with my family, and anytime we went to any campgrounds, I always loved talking to the park rangers. They were always so nice and so friendly, and that definitely inspired me. And what's really funny is that I used to camp at Camp Comfort Park, which is now one of the parks that I work at. So it's kind of funny to go to that park every day, not every day, but to go to that park and be like, that's where I broke my first cell phone because I fell in the creek. That's where I almost broke my arm when I was learning how to ride a skateboard. So that's really fun. But it was definitely growing up in that environment with my family, having so much fun, that definitely inspired me to be a park ranger so that I can make sure that kids had fun just like I did.
Yeah, my family loves to camp. We go camping, like, everywhere.
Oh, that's fun. What's your favorite place?
I really like Big Bear. Like, that's a fun place to go camping.
Yeah, that is fun.
Yeah, I like Big Bear.
All right, so what is your official title and what are your daily duties? Do they differ from day to day?
Okay, so my official title is Park Services Ranger 2. I started with the Parks Department about 7 years ago, and I started off as the lowest level park ranger, which is our ranger trainee. I did that for about a year, and once I worked there for about a year, I had enough experience to apply for the higher level ranger, which is one of the full-time positions there. So I worked as a ranger 1, and now I'm a ranger 2, which is one of the lead positions at the Ventura County Parks Department. So I feel very proud that I was able to, you know, start from a trainee position and then make my way up to a lead. Depends on the day, but we show up to Sataquoy, which is where our office is at. We pick up a truck, and we pick up our computer. We talk to our supervisor in the morning. She gives us any special tasks for the day, whether it be go talk to this park host for something, go check out this trailhead because we got a report of vandalism. And then other than that, it's basically campground management. So we go to the campgrounds, and we make sure that everything's in order, make sure that everyone is in the spot that they reserved, everyone has a reservation, no one's taking someone else's spot. So it's mostly campground management. And we make sure that people are following the rules in our parks. If they're not following the rules, we do have badges so we can write citations to people. It's very rare, but if someone doesn't want to comply with our rules, we do have that option. We make sure that everything is safe in the park, make sure that there's no branches falling down. We don't want any branches falling down on people's property or anything like that. We make sure everything is safe. And then when we're not doing campground management, we get scheduled for little special project days where, you know, we get to go patrol a trailhead somewhere, or we get to help out maintenance with whatever maintenance projects that they're currently working on. So it differs from day to day, but mostly it is campground management because someone does need to make sure that our campgrounds are in order and that no one's breaking our rules in those campgrounds.
Yeah, that makes, like, a ton of sense. Like, you just don't want anyone to not be, like, following the rules.
Yeah, we do get a lot of people that will try to take someone else's reservation. They just show up to the campground And they're like, we didn't know that we had to pay. And someone else is like, hey, that's my spot. So
wow.
So it's a lot of management.
That's crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm lucky I don't have a branch falling through my tent. I wouldn't want
you
that.
Would not want that. But luckily we have park rangers to make sure that that's not going to happen.
Yep. So what kind of skill set and personality do you think it takes to become a park ranger?
Okay, personality-wise, I think that you, as a park ranger, should be friendly and want to feel a desire to help and assist people. We do have a lot of people out there who don't know what they're doing, and you just want to be able to help them make a reservation, tell them what's in the area, what kind of hiking trails are around, help them make a reservation, help them make a future reservation, anything like that. You definitely want to feel that need to help people. You also want to have great communication skills, because we do rely a lot on our communication skills out in the field. Not only orally, like you're asking someone to comply with the rules, but also written. You wanna have good communication skills, because when something does happen in the parks, like some sort of accident or some sort of property damage, we do have to write incident reports. So you have to be good at communicating through written means as well. In terms of skill set, you want to make sure that you are very organized. You do have to stay organized, because there's so many components of working at parks that you just really need to write everything down for the day and know what you're doing. Also, integrity. You do have to have integrity. You know, integrity is doing the right thing even when no one's watching. We do spend a lot of time on our own. Out in the field, you know, you're driving by yourself. Out in the field, there's no one at a campground. You're by yourself. You want to really make sure that you're always doing the right thing, and that the people in your department can trust you. So I'd say that those are some pretty important qualities.
Yeah, like you wouldn't want like a mean park ranger, because then it's like, I don't want to go back there again.
Exactly. You want people to come back to the parks.
Yeah.
And we also deal with a lot of money too. We do collect a lot of, you know, day use fees. We have parks where you have to pay $5 to come in on the weekends and $2 during the week. So you want to be really trustworthy. So you're handling money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't never be able to be a park ranger if it revolves about organization. I'm very unorganized.
I think you can change. We can get you a to-do list, Jack.
Oh, no.
I'm actually pretty good with organization. It's just the people skills. I'm not too much, like, too good at talking to like a lot of people.
You know, the nice thing is that you're out in parks. You're not in a high stress area. Like I used to work at a restaurant, and you know, everyone would come in so mean because they're all so hangry.
Yeah.
But you're at a park, and it's people that are on vacation and people that are enjoying the nature and the sereneness of the area. So you don't get too many angry people. So that definitely helps with talking to people out there.
Yeah, that's nice. Yes. So my family and I have been to some local parks. Can you tell us how many parks or campgrounds of Ventura County Parks Department owns or oversees? Where are their locations, and what are the most popular parks?
Okay, so we have 15 regional parks, which comes out to 466 campsites total. We have 5 community centers, 4 hiking trails, 3 historic properties, an aviary, and various other properties throughout the county, so like golf courses and stuff like that. We have some of our more popular parks that you may have heard of is Foster Park in Ventura, Camp Comfort, and Soul Park in Ojai. We have Steckel Park in Santa Paula, maybe Santa Rosa in Camarillo. We have much more parks than that, but that's more of our popular ones that you may have heard of. But definitely our most popular parks are our beach parks. We do have Hobson, Faria, and Rincon. I don't know if anyone's in here has heard of those, but it's very popular beach area. On the PCH, like headed towards Santa Barbara at the very edge of Ventura County. We have 200 campsites there. And during the summertime, we do not have enough campsites to accommodate the demand of people trying to camp at the beach. So, I mean, they're great camp spots. They're right on the beach practically. The Rincon Parkway, people park their RVs parallel with the road. So they open their front door and they look at the ocean. So it doesn't get too much better than that. So those are definitely our busy parks.
Wow. I think everyone, like, loves the ocean. So, like, that makes, like, sense that people want to, like, hang out there more.
Yeah. It's pretty sad, too, when people come up to you during the summer and they're like, do you have any spots available? And I'm like, I'm so sorry. We're full. It sucks. But there is a day use area down there, and people are able to park down there during the day for free. So that's always nice.
Do you work at a specific site, or do you travel to different sites? I'm sure there are a lot of exciting aspects about your job. What's the most exciting thing you've ever had to do?
Okay, so it depends on the shift where you're going for the day. So we have three different beach shifts. So like I said, there's 200 campsites down at the beach. So you will be scheduled for 100 campsites down at the beach, and then your partner will have the other 100 sites. So we do have those beach shifts. We have an Ojai shift, so we're scheduled to go to 6 different parks in Ojai, and then we might have to make a couple stops at one of the trailheads or one of the community centers. So there's that Ojai shift. You spend the whole day in Ojai. And then we have an East County shift. So East County being Santa Paula, Fillmore, Simi Valley, and Camarillo. So that shift, there's a lot of driving, but lots of places to go on the east side. So where you're going for the day depends on what you're scheduled for. So like let's say it'll be you're scheduled to show up at 8 o'clock and you have to go to Ojai for the day. So that's when you check in with the supervisor in the morning and she gives you any specific special tasks for the day, but you pretty much manage those 6 campgrounds that are in that shift. And then there are a lot of exciting aspects of the job. I'd say something interesting or exciting that happened pretty recently is I was at Faria, which is one of our beach parks, and there was a pelican that decided to come walking through the site or inside the campground. And I don't know if anyone here has seen a pelican before, but they're 4 feet tall. So they're very tall. And this pelican this doesn't happen very often, but this pelican just came walking through the campground. And it's a giant bird. It's bigger than the kids that are walking around in there. And we have a cafe that's in Faria, and the bird went over to the cafe and was trying to steal people's lunches. So I had to go through and kind of, come on, get out of here. We do have a really good relationship with the Channel Islands Marine and Wildlife Institute, and they rescue hurt and sick marine and wildlife. And so I called them, and I was like, is this bird sick? Because it's walking through the park. It's not flying. You don't see this happen very often. And she's like, no, it doesn't sound like it's sick. So I did ask, but he just came in. I saw him try to snatch a Gatorade bottle from a little girl. Like, he was there to cause trouble. So he ended up going into a campsite, and he took a quick nap, and then he flew off. So it's just another day as a park ranger, it feels like. And then another thing, this one was really fun, but pretty recently also, maybe about a month ago, I was at Denison Park. It's in Ojai, and right outside of the bathroom, there was a little baby rattlesnake that had just set up. He was coiled up, just hanging out. It was a nice day. And the campers had let me know. So I went over there. I had my bucket and my snake grabbers, and you just grab it kind of like trash picker uppers, and you just grab them, put them in the bucket, and I ended up taking him to one of our properties that's really secluded. So he was able to go live his life where no one was going to bother him, and he wasn't going to bother anyone. So I really like snakes, so that was really fun. I was pretty excited for the day. Like, I got to pick up a baby snake. And baby snakes are so cute. So
yes, they are.
Imagine you're just enjoying your Gatorade. Then this 4-foot-tall bird stares at you and tries to snatch it. Then to cap off the day, you go to the bathroom and there's a rattlesnake.
Yeah, that's just a regular day at the parks. Yeah, and like their beaks, the pelican beaks are huge. So it just snatched the Gatorade bottle. It was pretty rude. But, yeah, it was really funny. And, you know, we've all seen pelicans, you know, try to take someone's food. But, you know, that's a small pelican. This is a 4-foot bird. This is bigger than the little girl with the Gatorade bottle.
Gosh.
It's like almost a dinosaur in there trying to just take people's food.
Like, the parents just, like, look over. And they're like, oh, my gosh, a bird's tried to, like, grab my child. And it's just, like, grabbing the Gatorade bottle.
He just needed some electrolytes, right?
Yeah. He also just wanted, like, a little nap. He just wanted to hang out, have some fun.
Yeah, exactly. He just wanted to enjoy his summer vacation.
Yeah. Okay, so we recently had 2 paramedics from the Ventura County EMS agency visit us. Do park rangers have to be CPR certified or have a knowledge of first aid?
Yes. So in order to get hired with the Parks Department, you do have to be CPR and AED certified. The county does help us get recertified every 2 years, so it does stay in our brains all the time. Chest compressions, I know them.
I'm sorry, what's AED?
AED is the electronic device that they put on you if your heart is out of rhythm, and it shocks your body back into rhythm so that your heartbeat is more normal.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes, so we are certified to use those and certified in CPR. We do carry first aid kits in our truck at all time. We have stop the bleed kits, so that has a tourniquet just in case someone's bleeding. We have Band-Aids. We have bee sting kits just in case someone gets stung by a bee. We have insect bite kits. I did get bit by a fire ant one time, and it was pretty painful. I had to use my own little bite kit. But I think the most that I've ever had to do in terms of first aid was a surfer over at Faria again. Over at Faria, he had sliced his arm on the fin of his surfboard when he had fallen off. And so he came up to me with a huge cut on his arm. So we had little paper bandages where I was able to close up the cut for him, and he had to go to the hospital to get some stitches. But I'm glad I was able to help the bleeding. So there was that. But it doesn't get too crazy. If there was anything where someone's life was in danger or it goes beyond the scope of my first aid class, then we do call the paramedics.
Yes. Fire ants suck. Get hit by a surfboard, it sucks.
You know what's funny is there was just a – it's funny because there's just like this random – this theme of random animals at the Parks Department where there was a chicken that was walking through Foster Park, and I was like, oh, it's a chicken. And so I was kind of looking at the chicken, and I had crouched down, and I didn't notice that I had crouched down near all the fire ants, and it crawled up my leg. So the chicken got me.
I once got bitten by a fire ant at, like, a park, just, like, a normal play park, and I had to use the water fountain there to, like, rinse off my hand, and it hurts so much.
Yeah, it's painful. It stings really bad.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my hand's on fire.
So if you ever do get bit by one in one of our county parks, I can help you with that. We have little sting kits.
We talked about your average routine earlier. I'm curious, how long are your shifts, and does it take away or get in the way of your personal life?
Okay, so our shifts are 8.5 hours long, 8 hours of work, and a 30-minute lunch break. It depends on the shift that you're scheduled for, the time that you have to come in. On our busy holidays, sometimes we have to come in at 4 a.m. But not usually. That's just on our holidays. So usually our earliest shift is 6:30 to 3, which is kind of rough for me because I'm not a morning person. But we also have an 8 to 4:30 shift. Depending on the time of the year, we have a late shift that kind of goes until sundown. And then, again, on our busy holidays or busy weekend summer days, we have an overtime shift that's 8 o'clock at night to midnight. Yeah, it definitely varies. You always have to double check your schedule to make sure you know what time you're coming in, because it's always different. Does it get in the way of my personal life? When you apply to be a park ranger, they ask you in the interview, are you willing to work weekends and holidays? And you don't get the job unless you say yes, because that's when our parks are the busiest. You know, 4th of July, you want to be out barbecuing with your family, but so does everyone else, and they're all at the parks doing that. So we do work holidays, we do work weekends, because, you know, everyone's camping out on the weekends. But it doesn't get in the way of my personal life too much, just because at this point, all my family and friends know I don't hang out with people on weekends because I have to work. But, you know, it's much easier to go run errands on a Tuesday than it is on a Saturday, so that's one benefit. This past Thanksgiving, I worked. I always work on Christmas, and that's just life as a park ranger. But it's not as bad as it sounds.
With the later shifts, is it, like, super cold? Are you, like, all bundled up?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have my beanie on, and I have my two jackets on. I have the heater blasting inside the truck. And then you're out, and you see all these people that have their campfires, and I'm like, is that campfire legal? Yes? Okay, can I go sit with you? But you have stuff to do, but, man, those legal campfires look so enticing.
I would have the hardest time trying to stay awake during those times. I would just be like,
I get a large coffee before that shift because, yeah, I thought I wouldn't be able to handle it too. But actually, I'm more sleepy during that 6:30 shift than I am at midnight.
All right, so what do you consider to be your absolute best or favorite part of the job, and why?
Well, there's so much to love about the Parks Department, and I truly do mean that. That sounds kind of corny, but there's so much to love. One of my favorite parts about the job is getting to serve my community in a way that I feel passionate about. being that I was so heavily impacted by the park rangers in my youth, I feel that I can do the same for others. Kids especially, you know, make those lifelong memories with their families and just make it, it's very rewarding to help someone make those lifelong memories in our parks. Another part that I really love is all of my coworkers. The Parks Department is not a big group, but it just does feel like everyone's a family. Everyone needs to work together. We have our maintenance team. We have our administration, you know, the people who work in the office and answer the phones and do everything, you know, behind the scenes. And we have the ranger group. You have your coworkers' backs. They have yours. And I learned so much from the Parks Department about teamwork because it is just one big team, you know, a group of about 25, 26 running a whole Parks Department. Everyone's really tight. So I really do love that part of the job as well. And another thing I really love is that when you work that 6:30 shift, you get to watch the sunrise out at the beach. So you're doing your work and you get to watch the sunrise. It's not too bad. So I love everything about the job.
So it's definitely like a good job to have.
Yeah, definitely. It's really fun. I mean, I've been there for, you know, like 7 years already, so I love it. I don't see myself leaving anytime soon, and it's ever evolving as well. So I've been, like I said, I've been there for a long time, so I've seen a lot of changes, so it doesn't get too repetitive. And it's always changing, and it's fun. I really love it.
So with many types of jobs, there are certain requirements you have to meet to work there. Is there an age limit to apply to your job or any other specific requirements besides the being CPR and AED certified?
That is one of our requirements. Good job on remembering that. So one of our age requirements, we don't actually have an age requirement for our lowest level ranger, which is the ranger trainee. However, you do need a driver's license. So you at least have to be old enough to obtain a driver's license. Okay. The County of Ventura has an internship program where you can get into the Parks Department essentially as a student. Last summer we had an intern who had just finished eighth grade. So, you know, he was young, but he just worked for us for the summer. There's that internship through the County of Ventura, so it's not through Parks, but he did get to work with us. And then other requirements, we do have to take a class called PC 832, which is a post-certified class, which is essentially kind of, post is what, it certifies like the police officers. So we just have to take one course that enables us to write citations for people. That's the reason why I get to wear a badge. So we do take that class. Another requirement, you can get in by having school. So you can go to school and have a degree in something related to parks. It does not have to be anything specific, but it does have to be related to parks. So environmental science, resource management, forestry, biology, something like that. And then also there's that criminal justice aspect that you can come in through that side as well. Parks experience also helps you get in, like volunteer work with any sort of parks department that helps you on your application as well. So when you apply, it's like that driver's license, that PC 832 class, that first aid, you want either a degree or the parks experience. So,
eighth grader is already like on their way to become a ranger.
Well, actually, I think he got assigned the parks department. I don't think that he had originally wanted to come to the parks department, but hopefully we convinced him. Hopefully he'll come back in a couple of years when he graduates.
Yeah, that would probably be so much fun.
Yeah, so look into County of Ventura internships if you guys are interested for summer jobs.
Yeah, I love working, and I definitely want to have, like, a job soon. But it's like, I have to be certain ages to have jobs, so it's like,
Well, see, with that internship, I'm pretty sure they only schedule you for a couple of hours so that they're not violating any child labor laws or anything like that. But they found that loophole so that students can get that internship. And like I said, I don't know what grade you were all in, but he was in eighth grade.
Okay, I'll have to look into that.
You should.
What is the most dangerous part of your job, or have you ever had an unsafe interaction with an animal? Do you have to carry, like, personal safety devices?
Okay, some park rangers do carry firearms, some other departments. So, you know, state parks, national parks, they go through a full police academy and they carry firearms. However, the Ventura County Parks Rangers, we do not carry any sort of personal safety devices. We do take classes on de-escalation, which is essentially learning how to calm someone down when they're really aggressive and really worked up. So we do have to use, like, our de-escalation skills to de-escalate situations out there, and it's pretty successful for us. Like I said, nothing out in the Parks Department is as extreme as, you know, police officers are dealing with out in the real world, but if there's any a situation where we don't feel safe, we do have radios that put us into contact with the Ventura County Sheriff's Department, so we're always able to call them, and they're always nearby and ready to help us. In all of my years of being at the Parks Department, I've never felt unsafe or felt that I would be safer if I had a firearm with me. And in terms of animals, we don't really get too many aggressive animals except for that pelican. But we don't get too many aggressive animals. At night, sometimes there's a bear or two that walks through. After the Thomas fire, we had a bear that would go through Steckel Park in Santa Paula. But he was just looking for food and water, and he wasn't bothering anybody. So if there's ever, like, an aggressive animal, which there really hasn't been, we call the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife, and so they're the ones that are trained to come get aggressive animals. So the animals aren't too bad.
So you've had, like, a good experience there.
Yes, I've never felt unsafe at all, except for the time with the fire ants, actually.
Last question. What advice would you give to someone who was interested in pursuing a career with the Ventura County Park Ranger Services?
I would say start early. Daya, you said that you'd always wanted, or you wanted to work and you wanted to get started early. It would be very beneficial for you if you did start early. Go to school, get a degree, volunteer. Back when I was young, I had set out from a very young age, I want to be a park ranger when I grow up. So I used to volunteer with the National Park Service and do some, like, trail maintenance work. So I got some maintenance experience, because you do need some maintenance experience to apply as well. I was able to get some maintenance experience through doing that. I was a camp counselor, so I got to have some volunteer hours through there, and that was really helpful on my application as well. Let's see, go to another thing is try to get those low-level positions. Don't think that you're ever too good for a low-level position, even if it's, you know, cleaning toilets or something. You never know what kind of life experience you'll get from it, or work experience that will look good on an application later. And it shows that you're willing to get your hands dirty and that you're willing to put in the work. But, yeah, start out early, and there's a good chance that you'll get where you're trying to go.
Wow, that's so cool. Thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything else you would like to add before we go to our audience questions?
No, but I can go to some audience questions now.
Okay.
I have a lot of friends who their family goes on, or they try to go on vacations with the parks and make reservations. You had talked in the beginning about making reservation and how sometimes it's, like, impossible to get a reservation. So what would be your advice for people who want to make a reservation? I know there's, like, a day when reservations open, right? So what would be your advice to help somebody to nail that perfect spot at Faria or one of these other super popular campsites?
Yeah, so number one tip is just make sure you know what the days out are. So with RinCon, if it's RinCon specifically, you can make reservations 90 days in advance. So you want to make that reservation exactly 90 days out. A lot of people will set alarms and wake up at midnight so that they can make that reservation right at midnight so that they can come for 4th of July. With the beach parks, Faria and Hobson, it is 180 days out, so it's 6 months out. Again, set that alarm. Try to get the spot that you want. Kind of know beforehand what sites you like so you're not spending too much time on that website. Should we have this spot? Should we have this spot? Kind of go in there with knowledge of what spot that you want. Have your list. And then with our inland parks, it's not as hard because you can rent those up to a year in advance. But usually with the beach parks, that's where all the competition comes in. And if you're not able to get it 180 days out or 90 days out, I would just keep checking closer to the dates, because a lot of people will make their reservations 90 days out and 180 days out, and their plans change. So just keep checking. And a lot of people do get lucky with those cancellations. And especially closer to the time where the date is, a lot more cancellations come in, because our cancellation policy is that you can cancel within 48 hours of your reservation starting. So, or you can cancel as long as it's more than 48 hours. So a lot of people will wait to that last minute so that they can get their money back. And there's always some last minute openings, but you always want to keep checking for cancellations.
That's good to know. And how expensive is it to rent a place to stay?
To a
for like for a camp? I mean, is it different for a tent camper versus like a huge RV camper? Or
it doesn't depend on what you have, but it depends on what site you're in, because each site has different amenities. So up on the Rincon, you know, it's $43, and you have nothing but the view. You don't have any water hookups or electricity. Down in Faria and Hobson, we do have full hookups, so those are a little pricier. And then we have premium sites, and we have dry sites. So it's a lot cheaper to get one of the dry sites, just by about $10. And then it also varies on the time of year. So the fees are always changing.
Okay, and then just one last question. What is the policy for animals, like bringing your dog or your cat?
A lot of people bring their cats.
I know, so, right? A good friend of mine goes camping, and they take their cats with them. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you let your cat out? But I know, like, even with dogs sometimes, you know, you look for different places. And they're like, no, no dogs allowed. Oh, no pets allowed.
So we do allow dogs. You do have to pay a pet fee. But you just got to keep them on a leash. Make sure that they're not too aggressive. We can kick someone out if they do have an aggressive dog that's
like a barker.
Well, barking isn't too bad, because usually they can control it. Yeah. But if it's an aggressive dog, we can ask them to leave for the safety of the others in the park. But we do have one park, Soul Park, over in Ojai. It's a day-use park. It's not really a campground. And we don't allow dogs in the main area of the park, but we do have a dog park in that park specifically. So other than Soul Park, dogs are allowed everywhere as long as they're on a leash. Cats are allowed. most people have them on leashes because they don't want to lose them. But I've also seen someone at the beach bring their iguana, and they were walking it on a leash.
Hopefully it didn't run into that pelican. All right, thank you.
Hi, I'm Noel Wright. I heard that you work at a couple different parks. Do you have a specific favorite of the parks that you work at?
Great question. I do have a favorite. So I have two favorites, actually. So Camp Comfort, because I grew up there. It's pretty. The oak trees in there change colors during the fall, and it's beautiful in there. So that's one of my favorite parks. But also Denison Park, which is in Ojai as well. When you go up the 150, it's kind of at the top of the hill in Ojai. It's definitely a gem of the Parks Department, because we don't get too many people that go there. It's usually pretty empty. And it's beautiful. They're all tent sites, but you have the view of the Ojai Valley. So you're camping in a spot, and you can overlook the whole Ojai Valley. It's beautiful there. So that's my favorite park.
Hi, I'm Parul, and I was just wondering about the internships when you were talking about them. Do you get paid, and if you do, how much?
I don't know how much, but I do believe that he did get paid. Don't quote me on that, because that isn't through the Parks Department. It is through the County of Ventura. But I'm pretty sure there are paid internships.
Okay, thank you.
You should definitely look into it.
I will.
I hope to see someone here as our next intern for next year.
Hi, my name is Valerie, and I have two questions.
Okay.
So the first one is, what type of animals do you mostly see at the parks?
That depends on where you are. At the beach, we have a lot of squirrels. The squirrels are always out and about. And then there's pelicans, and then there's seagulls, and, you know, there's a lot of sea lions. You do see whales here and there. When it's whale season, you can see them crossing through. And every morning, you can see dolphins. So that's really nice. It's just, I always stop and watch them, because it never gets old. But then inland, at our other parks, I've personally never seen a bear, but someone has seen a bear over at Camp Comfort. And like I said, after the Thomas Fire, there was one at Steckel Park as well. You see a lot of deer in the morning. You see a lot of different birds. I have my little pamphlet of birds so that I can know what I'm looking at when I see them. But yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the second question is, so you mentioned like campfires and stuff. What's the difference between legal and illegal campfires?
Okay, so the illegal campfires are when someone has it on the ground and it's not contained. So when someone just gets rocks and they put them around on the ground, that's an illegal fire. The fires need to be contained in actual fire pits. Yeah, and it's also unsafe because I don't know if anyone's ever been to the Rincon, but a lot of people have to climb over rocks to get down onto the beach. So when you have a fire pit that's not contained and it's just on the ground, imagine you have your campfire in the morning and then you leave and then someone else comes into the spot and they go down into the ocean and they climb up over the rocks and they step in a fire pit. Like, that's horrible. So that's why we try to make sure that everyone has their contained fires.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
Hi, my name's Soph, and speaking of your campsites, do you get, like, special access to any of the things, like early access with the campsites and stuff?
Like, as a park ranger working here?
Yeah.
Unfortunately not. So if we were to want a campsite, we would have to battle it out, 90 days or 180 days in advance, just like everybody else.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah, like, we don't get any special treatment.
Hi, I'm Hello. Amy. And I was wondering, what's the most common trailhead you patrol?
The Ojai Valley Trail. I don't know if anyone has ever heard of that one, but it's actually the one that connects to the trail that's over by the pier. So, you know, that trail that goes by the pier, it goes up into Ventura, and then it's the Ventura River Trail, and then it turns into our trail, which is the Ojai Valley Trail. So it starts over at Foster Park in Ventura, and it goes all the way to downtown Ojai. So a lot of people ride their bikes, a lot of people run. It's really fun. On my days off during the summertime, I like to ride my bike there too. I don't usually make it the whole, 13 miles that the trail is, but I like to ride at least up to the Starbucks, get a nice drink, and then ride back to Foster Park. It's a nice bike ride. We also have a Sulphur Mountain Trail. It's kind of a fire road, but it's really nice to walk your dog and hike that trail. It goes all the way to Santa Paula. So you can hike all the way to Santa Paula on that trail. So that one's really cool. I like going there on my days off with my dog Parker also.
Wow, thank you. That sounds like fun.
It is fun. You should check them out.
Hi, I'm Lila, and I was wondering, if I wanted to petition to get a hiking and biking trail made official, how would I do that?
You would probably have to reach out to our director or our parks manager. So you would have to go to our website, find their contact information, and send them an email, and you can do it that way. But it would probably have to be land that, someone already owned. So it would probably be through them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, everyone. I had so much fun being here. Thank you, Daya. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Mrs.
Thank you
Stevenson.
Coming.
And thank you to everyone in the digital production class for having me.
I'm Daya Carolyn.
And I'm Jack Owiga.
Signing
off.